Like we're at, 7:02?
Yep.
Start?
Yep, go for it.
Great. I'd like to call the July 7th, 2020 Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors General Meeting to order. Time is 7:02. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag,
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let me just get my microphone back in my pocket here. Okay, roll call. I'll let the record reflect that all board and staff are present at tonight's meeting. Announcements are standard announcements of townships. Meetings are recorded for the purposes of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting will also be recorded by the teleconference provider. As usual, residents, people requesting to provide comment, please identify yourself in terms of name and where you live in the township. And that way we can make sure that the minutes accurately reflect who spoke during the meeting. Leave what, Mark? The first thing is the presentation from the library.
Yeah, I do need to announce that the board had an executive session on July 1st to discuss personnel. Yes, the Perkiomen Library is here with us tonight. We have Meredith Glodek and Eileen Johnson. I have them unmuted and their videos are on, so they want to give us a quick update on the library and what it is doing. So we can let Meredith and Eileen take it away.
Okay, Meredith, did you want to start?
Okay, sure. My name is Meredith Glodek. I'm president of the Perkiomen Valley Library Advisory Board. I just wanted to thank you again for your continuing support of the library. You're aware that we just finished a huge renovation and reconstruction project. It was over $500,000, but it was necessary to ensure the stability of the building for many years to come. We had a lot of issues with poor construction practices 60 years ago when the building was built. But it's finally all finished, and we really appreciate your financial support and helping us to continue providing services to the community. Eileen is going to tell us about how the library has recently reopened and also the summer reading program. Thank you.
Yeah, we are a week behind everybody else restarting the library, but we began last week starting with curbside pickup. No one is allowed into the building except for staff. So if you want something, you can easily place holds online or call the library. We'll get the items for you, contact you when they're available, and then we schedule a time like the restaurants to go pick up the items. We can bring it out to you, to your car, no problem. We do not have a date at all for when somebody might be able to come in and browse inside the library. That comes from powers above us, so we've got to wait for their okay to do stuff like that. But the staff is willing to do whatever we can to provide services for people. We've got online activities happening all the time. They're right now promoted on our Facebook and on the events page of the library's webpage has all kinds of things happening. And we have an online program for summer reading. It is for all ages, so the adults can jump in there and we record your reading there. And every time you reach one of the goals, it gives you a ticket and you get into a raffle prize drawing. At this point, it's listed as mystery prizes because with our late opening and not having my staff available till literally last week, we're still trying to figure out what our surprises are going to be for the prizes, but we do have some things in mind that we believe our public will like for prizes. But definitely we have appreciate your support. We look forward to serving your community because you're definitely our community. Are there any questions?
Yep. First, let me just thank you both for coming and you know, updating us on things, and I'll open it to the other board members. Do we have any questions for either Eileen or Meredith?
I don't know. This is a question. Eileen, you know very well. I'm a big customer at the library, and I think it's just a tremendous resource to have a library close to our township. So we're really happy you were able to get your construction work done and hopefully keep the building standing for at least another 60 years and presumably a lot longer. And looking forward to getting back to the library one day. So thank you for all the work you guys do.
Yep. Hi, this is Dan Orff. I just had a quick question for you. If someone who is currently not a member of your library wanted to become a member of the library, had somebody asked me this question because it looks like you can do it online now.
Yeah, you go to the webpage, pvlibrary.net.
Okay.
On the front page, you scroll down to where it says get a card, click on there, and there is a link in there that goes actually through Norristown Library that you can fill out the form and they'll give you a card. They're calling it a temporary card because eventually you'll come into the library, show your ID, but at least you'll get something which will allow you to do the online requests or to do downloadable databases and things like that.
That's probably what confused them because it made it sound like they had to come in to provide.
That's our normal practice, but everything's out the window right now.
Okay.
We're trying to be very generous and very flexible. At this point, we're not charging fines. We're extending our due dates and everything, trying to make it as best as we can for the public.
Thank you very much. I'll pass that along to them. Appreciate that, Eileen.
Could you repeat the website slower?
The library's webpage is pvlibrary.net.
Thank you.
Any other questions for either Eileen or Meredith? Eileen, Meredith, and to all staff, we thank you. I echo what Marla says. My family, the Iser family, has been big customers of yours as well over the years, and we really appreciate you being there for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Good night. Our next agenda items, we have several administrative actions requiring approval of minutes from several meetings. I guess we'll do these one by one. The first is we need to approve our minutes from our Board of Supervisors general meeting from May the 6th, 2020.
Sorry, Chuck, I have a question. This is also for Mark. If no one has any objections, can we approve them as a group?
Yeah, you've done that in the past.
That's fine.
If anyone don't has any questions or concerns about any of them.
I don't have any.
I have no concerns with the meeting minutes.
Harry?
Nope, I'm okay with them.
Great. That's fine. You will speak up in the future if I do this in a similar manner, I assume. Okay? Let me know, and we'll do it individually. But I have no problem doing this. I think this is fine. So, can I get a motion for approval of the minutes from our Board of Supervisors meeting, general meeting of May the 6th, our workshop meeting of May the 26th, our Board of Supervisors general meeting from June the 3rd, and our Board of Supervisors special meeting of June the 10th, 2020.
I'll make a motion.
Oh, I'll second.
All right, so Noelle Halter made the motion. Marla Hexter seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Thank you. I guess the next item up is the treasurer's report. Mark?
Okay, so the July treasurer's report, our cash balance in the general fund as of July 1st, is $1,648,052.29. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of July 1st is $334,024.25. Tonight, the list of checks in the general fund equals $77,165.88. And the list of checks in the sewer fund totaled $21,925.73. In light of the COVID situation, we're keeping a close eye on our earned income tax, which is the tax that will be most likely affected by the township. Currently, we are showing a 3.9% decrease in our earned income tax from last year at this point, but that is lower. Last month, we were showing a 5% decrease, so we did come up a little bit. With information coming from Berkheimer, who does the tax collection for us, and looking at the general outlook, kind of expecting an overall decrease in the earned income tax between 15 and 20% overall, which would, for us, would roughly equal $45,000 to $65,000 this year. Other thing that we're looking at very closely and watching more for next year is the interest rates on CDs have plummeted. So we're keeping an eye on options for investing. But right now, the CD interest rates are terrible. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Mark? Okay. So the next item up is our approval for the list of checks. Is that right?
Yep.
Great. You going to give us the rundown?
The list of checks in the general fund totals $77,165.88. The list of checks in the sewer fund totaled $21,925.73.
Any questions regarding the list of checks that Mark just mentioned? Hearing none, can I get a motion to pay the list of checks in the general fund as well as the sewer fund that Mark has just reviewed for us?
This is Dan Orff. I move to approve the list of checks in the general fund in the amount of $77,165.88. In the sewer fund in the amount of $21,925.73. And further, move to authorize payment of same.
Great. I have a second.
Second.
Terry Bird seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Next agenda item is our appointments to boards and commissions. We have an appointment that we can make to the Park Board. As you know, we received an application from Greg Reich, and I think the Park Board has also reviewed that application. Is recommending that we appoint him, or at least has not stated any objections. I assume they're recommending. So can we get a motion to appoint Greg to the Park Board?
I will make a motion to appoint Greg Reich to the Lower Frederick Park and Recreation Board to fill the remainder of the term expiring on December 31st of 2023.
Great. That's Noel Halter making the motion. Can get a second? I'll second. Chuck Yizer seconds. Any discussion?
No discussion, but I just want to say that some of us were attended the Park Board meeting last night, and Greg is already making a big contribution, so I'm sure he'll be a great asset to the Park Board.
Right,
I do have one question. Does that mean the Park Board is now at their capacity, or are there still vacancies?
There's still two vacancies on the Park Board. The Park Board can have nine.
Nine, yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, all in favor of appointing Greg Reich to the Lower Frederick Park and Recreation Board. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any sure. opposed? So, what, Mark?
Sorry, go ahead. Finish your...
Oh, any opposed? Hearing none. It was unanimous. Greg, welcome to the Park Board. Mark, did you have...
We skipped public comment on agenda items. Just ooh. Always mention that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm not seeing anything, and no one's raising any hands or anything, but I want to make sure you mention it, and then...
So do we have any public comment? All right.
I am not seeing anything. Just wanted to make sure we mentioned it.
Yeah. I apologize for that. I did not.
Not a problem.
Went right by it. Okay. The other appointment that is on our list for tonight, I think we discussed this appointment a few months back, but that is... Now that we have our ordinance in place for Planning Commission, we are allowed to appoint an alternate. We had discussed and I think agreed upon appointing an alternate, which was Jason Wagger, back in, I don't know, February timeframe. So we have the opportunity tonight to appoint him as an alternate. My understanding is Jason has been contacted and is willing to accept being an alternate.
Correct.
Yep.
I will move to appoint Jason Wagger as an alternate to Lower Frederick.
That will second.
Commission.
Okay. So Marla Hexter made the motion. Noel Halter seconded. Any discussion? Oh, great. All in favor of appointing Jason Wagger as an alternate to the Lower Frederick Planning Commission, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Vote was unanimous.
Is he on the call, or Mark, will you notify him?
I will notify him. I do not see him on the call.
Okay.
So that brings us to reports. Township Engineer.
Thank you, Chairman Yizer. This is Carol Schuler, Township Engineer. I've got a brief report tonight. There's only one action item. The rest is informational. First, I wanted to let the board know that the Goshen Road sidewalk project is out for bid. Those bids are due on July 28th. I wanted to let you know that it's my pleasure to report the township received the NPDES permit for the sewer treatment plant and sewer system on June 9th, 2020. That permit is valid for 5 years. The only change to permit requirements was the addition of a limit to total dissolved solids for treatment plant effluent. However, the operator is already meeting that limit in the way he operates the plant, so I don't believe it will be a burdensome requirement. Sewer Specialty Services is scheduled to work in the coming weeks on repair of two known leaks in your sanitary sewer collection system. They'll also be performing video inspection of a portion of the collection system manholes and the main. The area delineated for inspection includes the sewer main along the stream through Spring Mount that parallels Main Street. This work is funded by money that remains in a small projects grant obtained in 2018. That grant reimburses 85% of the cost for this work, and the work is being done under a CoStars contract with Sewer Specialty Services. On a whole different topic, an application was submitted for the township to the Montgomery County Conservation District for the Low Volume Road Program, and that application requests funding for replacing an undersized culvert under Swamp Creek Road. At Arcadia Station, the curb and the base course of pavement have been placed on the eastern half of that project. Site work and home building continue. And last thing on my report is about B-Team. Mr. Ryder has requested consideration of a partial release of escrow for this three-lot project on Berkey-Oman Avenue near 3rd Avenue. We evaluated the request relative to work completed and are recommending a release or reduction from the cash escrow account in the amount of $33,768. I'd be happy to address any questions you might have on these or other engineering matters.
Yeah, Carol, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Is there any update on the H2O grants? Any details that you can share with us about that?
To my recollection, the last I heard was that they would be deciding those in September, but I'll confirm that by email and follow up with information to Mark for you.
Okay.
Hey, Carol, this is Dan Worth. Just a quick question with respect to Arcadia. There were a number of, I guess I can't think of a better word than complaints right now. There are a number of times we were made aware of excessive dirt and debris on the main road, and a couple of people called that in. So I was wondering if you had any update on that. I think, Mark, you're aware of that.
Yeah, I went out and checked it out. I know Carol's inspector was out there, too. By the time I got out there, it was all cleaned up.
Okay.
Now, probably after Friday, we'll have to go check it if it rains real hard. That will probably be the next, and it's been dry really since the last.
Okay, time. That's great. I'm just glad that it was addressed.
Yep, we went and checked it out.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Hopefully that allays the concerns of those couple townspeople.
Any other questions for Carol? Carol, so with the B team then, you need us to basically vote on authorizing the release of the $33,000. Is that right?
That would be correct. $33,768.
And they had originally escrowed, what, about $75,575.6? Yeah. So they're okay.
The amount remaining in escrow will still be $37,383 in total.
Okay.
And you're correct. The original escrow, you know your numbers, Mr. Yazza, the original escrow was $75,591. So they're about halfway through their escrow, and they've got one of their lots completed. The second lot is very close to completion, and the third lot yet to be constructed.
Okay. All right. So I'll make the motion to... I'll move to authorize release of the $33,768 by the Township Treasurer from B-Team Investments LLC, releasing from their construction escrow.
I will second.
Okay, so Chuck Yizer made the motion. Noel Halter seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? The vote is unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Chairman Yizer, I do have another meeting to attend for another municipality later this evening, so I may be leaving the meeting a little bit early tonight. If anybody has any general engineering questions they'd like me to address, I just wanted to give you a heads up that I might be departing early.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for our engineer before at this time? We'll put it that way. I don't
Not
hear
anything, Chuck, but I'll keep my eye on as a week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. All right. Township manager report.
Police chief.
I'm looking at the wrong document on my screen. I apologize.
Not a problem.
Yeah. No worries. Good evening, everyone. Just have a brief report for the township for tonight. During the month of June, there was 289 calls for service to the township. We have been noticing that there has been an increase over the last month of thefts throughout the township. So we're just trying to remind residents to make sure that they are locking their vehicles, locking their homes, and if they have outbuildings, if you can try your best to secure those sheds and things like that, because we have been noticing that there's been more incidents part of that we attribute to the warm weather and more people just walking around on foot. And finally, I want to commend Officer Steve Rinker. Steve commenced a 7-month-long investigation, which resulted in the arrest of 2 theft suspects who had stolen from a local business here in our community. It was a pretty involved investigation on Officer Rinker's part, and ultimately we were able to get one of the suspects to turn themselves in with the assistance of their attorney, and the other suspect was picked up by a police department in Bucks County who stopped the individual, and the person had a warrant. So that was a good resolution to Officer Rinker's investigation. And finally, the police department received checks totaling the amount of $349.02 from District Court 38-203. And this money represents fines and restitution paid in criminal and traffic related matters. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Do we have any questions for Chief Maxey? Great. Thank you, Chief. I don't see any questions.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Where are we here? Roadmaster, Tom Manning.
Good evening. For the month of June, we started our road mowing. We had 2 sump pump inspections, and we started patching potholes with hot material on Zegersville Road, and we removed the debris off of the Boy Park Dam. That's all I have.
Just while we're mentioning the Boy Park Dam, just want to make sure everyone is aware that no one is permitted on that dam. That is considered, a hazard. People are supposed to stay 200 feet above and 200 feet below it if you're in a boat. You're not supposed to swim there. We're having a lot of, with the new situation everyone is in and the new stay-at-home vacations and everyone getting out to use the park, which is great, we are having a lot of people kind of use the park incorrectly, being out on the dam and that kind of stuff. So we do have signs up that ask people not to be on the dam. We have put some caution tape up. And that dam we split between ourselves and the neighbors that are across the street. And they're having a lot of problems. People are actually trying to shoot the crack in the dam, I guess, with their kayaks. They're trying to swim in there. So anything we can do to, just make people aware that no one is supposed to be on the dam would be appreciated.
Any questions for Tom?
No, but Mark, I had a thought. Do you think people who are coming to go on the Perky Omen Trail, are any of them going on the dam? Because I wonder if that's something that we could maybe get messages out there, anything that's out there about the Perky Omen Trail, when we could also reinforce it in other places where people get information.
I can work on that. Yes, we're getting people from everywhere. When the county parks were closed, we became the, for some reason, that Boy Park area became the epicenter of people just going there to use the trail. And I mean, we have cars parking all over the grass, cars driving into the park, which also is obviously not, acceptable. But that area, the big parking lot, on the other, somebody had a fire there Saturday night. So, yes, we are getting a lot of people from out of town. So I will talk with the county, and I'll also, again, talk with the Perky Omen Watershed Conservancy.
Would it help at all? I mean, I don't know if our police are kind of going around there regularly. I don't know if that would make a difference, but is there any, we have any policing or legal recourse? I mean, how do you deter people?
Yep, the police are going through there on a regular basis. We do have some recourse. It's under Chief, the fish and boat law.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I mean, we there are enforcement provisions. There's a violation. We as municipal police officers have the ability to enforce that. obviously we try our best to just encourage people through verbal communication to stay off of there. It's an environmental impact. And I think that, unfortunately, it's a situation where people think that they're having fun. There's also some concerns, as it's been pointed out to me before. I've had the occasion to speak with the Fish and Boat Commission, and these dams can create very dangerous situations in terms of drowning hazards as well for people that are in the water, because of kind of the way that the water flows and the current. It can create almost like a riptide effect and pull you under. So we just ask people to be mindful of this. Officers, I've asked my guys to swing down through there throughout their shifts and make sure that if they do see people there, ask them to get off, spend some time, educate them, and explain that obviously you can be fined. It's the last thing we want to get involved with right now. And we are very aware of just the humanistic component of this, and that is that we have a lot of people that are bored and kind of going stir crazy, and they're trying to utilize the outdoors, and I think people aren't really spending time thinking. Mark, wasn't there some signage that was going to be placed there?
We contacted them. They're getting us new signage to put up. So
I think that'll be a big help, too.
So we are working on it on many different directions. Just wanted to bring it up to everybody.
Thank you, Mark. Yep. And thank you, Chief. And Tom, did anybody have any questions for Tom? We kind of started on that. I don't know if everybody got an opportunity to ask Tom questions, if they have questions. Tom, I assume that aside from the dam, that the other parks and everything, that we're not seeing any kind of unusual wear or usage that's problematic?
No, for the most part. Even the dog park's kind of on the quiet side. It is, you know, we do have people using it now that we opened it back up, but it's not. I haven't seen usage there what I've seen in the past.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
That brings us to Township Manager Report.
So before I get started on the items, I did get receive an email from a resident in the Cedar Hill townhomes who's been walking around seeing a lot of trash. She's begun to pick up trash on her walks. Just wanted me to make us aware that there's a lot of trash around. So, you know, if people can try to clean up after yourself after you're going from point A to point B, you know, take your trash with you. Like I said, she's out there. She's gotten a couple of full trash bags of trash already. So just got that comment, just asking people to mind their community, mind their environment, and pick up after themselves. The first item I have is the Schuylkill River Greenways Association's grant. This is a grant that you guys allowed us to apply for earlier. It's the grant that we're going to use to get the appraisal done on the Reynolds property. We were awarded this grant to match that the township needs to provide for the cost of the appraisal is being also donated by two residents, Dan Orff and Phil Smith. But I provided everyone with the agreement, so we just have to approve the agreement and get it signed, and then once we return it back to the Schuylkill River Greenways Association, they'll provide us back a signed copy, and then we can start to proceed with this appraisal of the Reynolds property.
Okay. And my understanding is the grant needs to be, we need to do our part by the end of this calendar year. Is that right?
Correct. This is just for the appraisal, so once we get it approved and we get it back from the association, we should be able to pretty quickly get the appraisal.
And just for completeness, because they ask us to in the letter, the money is coming from Exelon, Schuylkill River Greenway Association, and the Delaware River Basin Commission.
Yes.
They're very appreciative if we
Yep.
Mention that wherever possible.
Yep.
So we need a motion then to basically have you sign the contract. Yep. Is that right?
Correct.
Does anybody have any questions for Mark on this? The dollar value is $1,650. Great. So can I have a motion to basically have Mark or approve authorization of the Schuylkill River Greenway Association grant?
Hi, this is Dan Orff. I move to authorize the grant agreement between Lower Frederick Township and the Schuylkill River Greenway Association to be used for the appraisal of the Reynolds property.
Great.
I will second.
Okay, so Dan Orff made the motion. Noel Halter has seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of authorizing the grant agreement, say aye.
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 Any against? Great. The vote is unanimous. Okay, Mark.
So obviously we are still in conversation with Mr. Reynolds. This will help us move the project forward to see where we can end up at. Nothing is done with this yet. This is the next step to continue the conversation. So any property acquisition or just the concept of looking at it takes quite a while. So we're just in that process of talking. Tom has been very nice to work with and, you know, appreciates talking with the township, but we appreciate talking with him. So once we get the appraisal done, then we can move forward with more in-depth conversations. But that's a little update on where that is at. At our last meeting, the board approved Hydroterra Professionals as the wastewater engineer. They provided us with a letter and a fee schedule, so we have to approve that fee schedule to make it official that they are our wastewater engineer. So I provided the fee schedule to everyone. Just give me 1 second here. So the rate for the principal engineer is $136 an hour. The senior engineer is $125 an hour. The project manager is $106. Staff engineer is $91. And then the technical assistant and the CAD operator are $82. And the technician is $85. So as we need the different variations, we'll get different billable hours. So if the board would approve the fee schedule, then we can begin working with Hydroterra on the wastewater.
Any questions for Mark on the fee schedule? As far as I remember, these fees, when the other outfits that we reviewed, these fees were definitely in line with the other outfits, perhaps even on the lower side of the ones that we looked at, the five firms we looked at.
And I think also we are not going to be paying the highest amount. I believe that is for the...
That's yes. Yep.
Right. So can we get a motion to approve the fees and agreement with Hydroterra Professionals?
Also move.
Okay. I will second Noel's motion. So Noel Halter made the motion to approve. And Chuck Geiser seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the fees and agreement with Hydroterra Professionals, as mentioned by our township manager, all say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any against? Great. The vote is unanimous. Next agenda item, Mark.
The next agenda item is consider an ordinance authorizing a referendum on establishing an open space tax. So the board would has an ordinance that we would look at our June 28th meeting that would allow us to put a question on the ballot for November, the November 3rd election, that would ask the residents if they want to have an additional tax on their EIT that would go to open space.
Mark, just for the record, it's July 28th. I think you may have said June.
I apologize.
No problem. So, how do you want to proceed on this discussion of this agenda item? There was an approach discussed and an amount discussed last year. So there's two things that have to get decided if this is something that the board would like to do, right? And that would be, how are you going to tax? Is it earned income or real property? And the rate at which you tax.
Yeah, so we were going, earned income tax was what the board was, had moved forward a little bit last year. So it's at a 0.0005. Give me a second here. I can pull up a chart if I can find it. I got to move everything around. All windows are everywhere. So if you're with me here in the current EIT box up in the upper left, currently the EIT for every $1,000, the school district gets $9 and the township gets $5. The proposed open space, additional proposed for the open space would be the 0.0005. So on every $1,000, it would equal 50 cents. So currently, you pay $14 on every $1,000 that you make. Now you would pay $14.50 if we go with the 0.0005. Can you see this that I'm?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. If you can make it a little bit bigger, that'd be great. You know, maybe boost up the magnification in Excel. That's good. That's perfect, Mark.
All right, sorry about that. All right, so up here we have $1,000. Currently, these are the current percentages of earned income tax. So it's $9 to the school, $5 to the township. And I don't know what happened. So if the proposed addition for the open space would be the 0.0005, which would be 50 cents on $1,000. I just threw some other numbers in here. So if you made $30,000, it would be $15 additional. If you made $50,000, it would be $25 additional. And if you make $80,000, it would be $40 additional. And then, we could change numbers.
And Mark, it's an earned income, so that would automatically include Social Security wages, like retirement fund, earnings. Those are not earned income. Unemployment insurance, all those are excluded from this earned income tax.
Correct. Yes.
Mark, this is Marla. It still looks like either there's one too many zeros under the current EIT or one too few zeros for the open space proposed tax. Because I think the open space tax is going to be 1/100th of the current township tax, not 1/10th. So I think somewhere there's either an extra zero or a missing zero. I mean, should the current township tax be 0.05?
All right, so that's all right. So you're going from you got two things here, and this is where things got screwed up, and I did work on this quite a bit.
It's correct.
So
it is
0.05 is your percentage. This is not percentage. This is straight decimal points on it. So it's earned income at a rate of 0.05%. So it's the 0.0005.
No, what I'm saying is I think the current EIT must have an extra zero. But yeah, anyway.
That would bump it up quite a bit.
Marla, are you saying that the proposed additional for open space has an extra zero?
That would go that way.
No, because I just remember there was an issue with it the last time, and Terry Podorchik had to actually change the referendum because it only indicated 0.005.
You
we
know
had
what?
To change I think, to 0.0005.
I think my eyes are just glazing over looking at this. But you're right. The open space one is all the decimal points and everything. It's but yes, this all looks correct. Sorry, Mark.
That's okay. I
am mistaken.
I bugged out of my head earlier today. I actually called my mom for help. So I will admit my mom was a math teacher and an accountant, so I called her for help.
So, Mark, can you, if this is something that the board chooses to move forward with, can you, either you or Eric, give us the schedule and sort of logistics of how all this would work in the next month?
Eric, I guess I'll run with it and correct me if I'm wrong. So the board tonight will need to approve to authorize advertisement of the ordinance, which we're calling 2020-4. During the next couple of weeks, we would advertise in the newspaper that we're going to talk about the ordinance at our July 28th meeting. At the July 28th meeting, we would talk about the ordinance, receive comments, and then the board would have the option to vote on passing the ordinance or, you know, to vote on the ordinance. If the ordinance passes, then by August 4th, we have to get the information to the voter services for Montgomery County so that the question can be put on the ballot for the November 3rd election. So everyone that votes in the township, if this passes, everyone that votes in the township in the November 3rd election will have the opportunity to vote for the referendum or to vote against the referendum. So it's the town's residents have the ability to vote directly upon this. So they will make the choice on whether there's an additional tax added to the earned income or there is not.
That's all correct. So the drop-dead deadline for the board would be the August 4th deadline to submit the ordinance to voter services. And so that's when you need to have the ordinance enacted by. And if you wanted to carry it through past the election, if the referendum is adopted by a majority of the voters in November, the board would then use the remainder of the calendar year to enact the actual tax ordinance itself, to impose the tax. And that requires advertising that ordinance three times, which he would do between November and December, so that the tax then becomes effective January 1, 2021. And I will also point out, because it's related to the procedure, that the law does require the township live with the result for the next 5 years. And so on one hand, if the referendum passes, you're limited to that tax rate. You can't go and adjust the rate up or down for a period of 5 years thereafter. And on the flip side of things, if the referendum fails in November, you can't revisit the issue for 5 years thereafter. You can't repeatedly put the referendum on the ballot every election until you get the outcome that you want. So be mindful that there's that 5-year lock-in period for whatever the result happens to be in November.
So just trying to move forward logically, there's really three things that have to be sorted out tonight. The first of this is, do we even want to move forward with this? The second is, how do we want to do the tax? And the third is the amount, the tax amount. You need all of those things decided tonight so that you have the opportunity to advertise according to the schedule that you just mentioned to us. Is that right, Mark?
Correct.
Okay.
And this is just authorizing to advertise and then have the discussion at the July 28th meeting.
Right, but you need to advertise the amount, right?
Yep.
You know, all of those things.
Yeah. Yep. We have to advertise the ordinance that will be discussed and approved with no changes, correct there?
Correct.
Yep.
So maybe we should start with the first part. Does that make sense to everybody?
Certainly.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, I mean, we have a proposal for an EIT and we have a proposal for an amount already. Unless someone would like to propose. I don't think we can do it on any other way. I think you can only do it on an EIT. That's my understanding.
I'll
answer that question. If that's a question, you can do it by millage rate on real property if you'd like.
Yeah, I just remember the conversation we had last year, and because EIT is lower for lower income, it seems a fair way to go.
It seemed to be when this was discussed the last time this came up that the EIT was something that basically made sure that seniors on fixed incomes, retirement incomes were not getting hit because that's not earned income. People on unemployment aren't getting hit. So it was decided that the earned income tax was the fairer of the methodologies to use. And I would say that there was significant discussion the last time. And I think the percentage amount is no reason to revisit that at this point. We would stick with that percentage amount. That would be my thought.
I believe that percentage was considered the least amount of financial impact, but still garnered some return in a shorter period of time.
Estimate at the 0.0005. Estimate should be the township would receive around $80,000 a year.
Mark, is that with the newer, 3.5 or 5% below what it was tracking before?
That was using the township, probably a little less than.
Okay.
that was at a flat $800,000. Last year, I think we came in at 825. So, yes, give or take a couple dollars, correct?
Yeah, I mean, given the two options for the tax, I remember the conversations quite well. And I think it would burden a lot of people more on the millage based on property values or property taxes, rather, than the earned income. Of course, is an odd time we're in right now with earned income being down by an average, which means that would translate to people being out of work. But understanding those people wouldn't be taxed this, it's still pretty tough time right now from earned income. But okay, thank you.
Yeah, I guess just, without getting into the details, my hope after watching the way things went last year is that we would have some education in place before we considered such a thing. And we did, thanks to Crystal Gilchrist. I'm not going to take any credit for it. She arranged to have two great speakers last September, if I remember correctly. But I think in order to have your residents give them information and have them make an intelligent, thoughtful decision on this, that there should be an education program in place. I'm also very wary with the pandemic that we have, that I don't think that it's necessarily appropriate at this time to be considering this tax. I think next year, when we have hopefully in a better situation and we actually have some projects that we can show, hey, this is the kind of stuff your tax would go toward, that we can talk about, that would certainly help with the education piece. So although I started out the year hoping that we could do this at some point during the year, probably around May, when I realized I wasn't returning to the office that I haven't been to since March 19th, thereabouts, that this was not a good time to do this tax.
So, Chuck, just for the record, I'm actually going to be working on bringing in speakers to fill in that educational component over the next couple months regarding the long-term financial environmental returns on the conservation of land and open space. So by the time the vote comes in November 3rd, people will have had a chance to participate via Zoom, if that's what we're going to be doing. You know, get the word out there that we're having those educational components.
Okay.
And I don't, I personally think that there, you know, obviously these are interesting times, but we have no guarantee. I think holding off on this will not, there's more to be gained by moving forward with this at this point in time. We run the risk of being in the situation that some of our neighbors were, where by the point in time they had the open space, funding in place. They had no open space to fund. So I think, you know, this was something that all of our residents, when we were campaigning, made clear that they valued this township. They valued the way it looked now. They valued a lot of the special features of the township. And so I think that hasn't changed. And plus, this is, I know it's still a tax and it does burden people, but I think it's considering the bigger picture, it's not burdening the people that are currently displaced, and it's not burdening people who have retired. So I think the people are still in favor of moving forward with this, and I think they asked for a chance to vote on it last year, and I think it's only appropriate for us to give them the opportunity to vote on it this year.
Yeah, this is Marla. I just want to add to that. This board voting to put it on the referendum does not mean we're telling people to vote yes. We're telling them we think it's an important enough issue to let the residents of this township make a decision. And that decision is basically, are you willing to pay a little extra in taxes to preserve some open space and to keep the quality of life that many of us moved here for? Or are you not willing to pay a little extra in tax for open space? And if the former, then you should vote yes. And if the latter, you should vote no. And I think just like we send out surveys and just like we have planning commission meetings, this is an opportunity for the people who live here to tell us, the board, what their priorities are. And if their priority really is not to preserve open space, it's useful for us to know that sooner rather than later. And if their priority is to preserve open space, then it's useful to us to know that sooner rather than later. And I don't see the value of delaying. I agree with Dan that this is something we all talked about when we were out campaigning. And again, it's the democratic process at work. Everybody gets one vote, and when they go in there, they can decide what their priorities are, and then we will know. But I think it's would be a mistake for us to try to wait for that opportune moment, because our goal is not to tell people what to do. Our goal is to give them the opportunity to vote, and I don't think it's worth delaying that.
Thank you, Marla. You know, and I agree with yourself and Dan. We can call it a tax, which of course scares everybody. But incrementally, when you look at the amount, I know there's probably people that spend more on a cup of coffee every day than they would on a little bit of this, the dollars and cents that it comes down to. But in essence, this is really a way to give people collectively a mechanism to pull their resources together. And it's for the betterment, for the quality of their life and the environment. And it's, and it has some long-term repercussions that, will eventually pay off.
Yeah. This is Harry. So, I mean, I agree that the best way to approach it is with letting, the voters decide, and completely support the idea of the open space, fund. I think everyone knows that it is, just kind of hearing everything, it's important. Again, the what we talked about was making sure that the voters are well educated, that they understand it is a tax. It is paying more. You know, the most win in this case. And again, just I want to have the conversation that we all do understand that there are, although if you're underemployed at the moment, you're technically not going to pay an earned income tax on something, but a lot of times that one person who's, you know, disadvantaged at the moment from a employment is part of a family. So it's still going to be taxed somehow back to that family. But, you know, this is going to move forward from what I'm gathering. And we have, you know, 3 months or so of meetings until the election. So we have a very short runway, to get the educational sessions out. So it seems a bit rushed, but, you know, let's get the best quality if we can get a presenter per month, whether the work session or the meeting, quick and to the point, not lecturing, talking about the benefits of it. Then I think we should feel good going into November that people are given the opportunity, that maybe that small part of the presentation is available online as a series, you know, one, two, three, or four parts of a series that people can watch leading up to the election. And also, I think it's, you know, one of the things that I know I mentioned about a year ago was that our own state rep, I think, was the last one to put this bill through, and it passed, you know, through all the state government, you know, the governor at the time signed it. So I think it'd be important to start with our local reps to come and present about the benefits of this program, and they can actually talk about their experiences and any, the good and the bad and kind of what's come of these programs that different townships have put in place. So that's kind of my take on it. I just want to make sure that we're not just glossing over the fact that there are going to be some people disadvantaged at the moment on this.
Okay, so I guess we need, sounds like, let me just try to understand what I'm hearing is that the previous amount from last year, doing this in the form of an EIT is what I hear the group wanting to do, and at a rate of 0.05% on earned income, which expressed as a decimal is 0.0005, meaning that's 50 cents tax on $1,000 earned. So to move things along, Mark, maybe it would be best if you, I saw you had like a plain language version of this, what has to appear. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, I don't know that that has the number in it.
I think it does. It says 0.05%.
Mm-hmm. I have this. This is the question that will be placed on the ballot, and I'll come back with the
Yeah, why don't you read the question? I mean, that's ultimately what the voters will see in November, should this go on as a referendum question.
And you, sorry, you can't see what I'm looking at. Hold on 1 second. Sorry.
All right. Okay. I believe it's on the second page, right?
I think it's right here.
So the question, there it is.
Question.
Well, go ahead.
Question to be placed on the ballot shall be framed in the following form. Do you favor the imposition of an additional tax on earned income at the rate of 0.005% or 0.0005 by Lower Frederick Township to be used to purchase interest in real property for the purpose of securing open space benefits for transactional fees incidental to acquisitions of open space property, retire indebtedness incurred in acquiring open space, and the expenditure of funds for the purpose of relating to the acquisition, planning for acquisition, preservation, improvement, and maintenance of open space or an open space benefit.
Okay, so that is the question that we'll see on the, this is prescribed by state law, how this question, this is not a Lower Frederick thing. The state law tells us how the question has to appear on the ballot.
Yeah, and just to clarify, there was a modification of the original open space law. I believe it was 2013. And I think one of the key sponsors was our own Marcy Topol, and that allowed for up to 25% of the open space fund to be used for maintenance. So that would be, could be things like park efforts to help keep our parks nice. So
That 25% can be used towards not only future open space and greenways, but the existing open space and parks we have now.
I don't know about that. I think if you look at the statute, the maintenance fund is to be used for property acquired pursuant to the act.
Okay.
So I would interpret that to mean you've got to wait until you actually acquire the property pursuant to the open space regulations before you can then maintain it.
Oh, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, I think, and it might be helpful to the board, and if you want me to do, I can maybe put together a little primer for you on the ins and outs of how you can spend the money. And there are some procedures that you would need to follow in order to spend the money. If you want me to do that, I can put that together for your next meeting. So you have that in front of you.
Or, I don't know if it's premature for that. Maybe you could point us in the right direction.
Okay.
Well, I move to authorize the advertisement of the ordinance 2020-04, authorizing a referendum pursuant to the Open Space Lands Acquisition and Preservation Act on the question of the imposition of an additional tax on earned income in the amount of 0.005% or 0.0005. The board will discuss this at the July 28th Board of Supervisors meeting.
Marla Hexter's made the motion. Is there
I'll
a second?
Dan Orff seconds.
So that we get to this any discussion phase now. I guess at this point we open the floor to the public. Is that right?
Yep. I was contacted by a Barbara Swanson from Yerger Road. She is in favor of the referendum and would like to ask the board to pass the referendum in favor of preserving open space. And I also have a question from Donna Lynn Eyrich from Spring Mount Road. What other ways will this be publicized since most people do not receive a newspaper anymore? We can put it on Facebook, we can put it on the website, and put it out in those ways to get it out to other people.
Are there any other questions from the public?
The newspaper is the legal requirement for the advertisement, right, Mark?
Correct, yes.
The other things would be things that we would do just for the benefit of the making sure the message got out to the community.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the public, Mark? Or
I'm not seeing anything at this time.
Okay. I guess all in favor of authorizing the advertisement of Ordinance 2020-04, say aye.
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 Okay, so who do we have? That's Dan Orff, Marla Hexter, and Noel Halter. So, am I got everybody right?
Sounds about right.
Right.
Yep.
And people who do not believe we should, or I should say any against authorizing the advertisement, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Terry Bird. So it would be Chuck Yizer and Terry Bird. Again, I'm not against doing open space preservation. I just do not feel in the current situation that this is the right time.
I share those thoughts.
Okay. Our next.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
I assume, are there any other questions for Mark before we move past? Great. Solicitor report.
I have no report. The only task that I've been assigned since the last meeting was assisting Mark with the open space referendum, which has been discussed already.
Thank you. Any questions for Eric while we're here? Thank you, Eric. That brings us to Planning Commission. I'm not sure who's on the call, whether Crystal or Linda is here.
I think we have Linda. Give me a hold on. I'm rearranging everything. Second. All right. Awesome. Here we go.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. First off, I'd like to welcome Jason Wagner, or pardon me, Wager, to the Lower Frederick PC as our alternate, and we look forward to working with him in the future. Well, on June 18th of 2020, we held our PC meeting via Zoom, and we had three things on the agenda. The first thing on the agenda was the road subdivision. This was a subdivision involving two existing parcels, but one large existing parcel. Half of a good portion of it was zoned, limited industrial, and also 60 some acres.
It was like a non-issue.
Was R1 rural residential. And then there, along with another smaller part, R1 parcel on Little Road. And basically what this was doing was taking the existing large parcel and splitting off the limited industrial from the R1 rural residential. And they were also asking for 4 waivers from our SALDO, since at this time they were not proposing any development plans. It was just subdividing the property. So we issued the stormwater. I mean, they asked for a relief from the stormwater, the sidewalks and curbs, street trees, road improvements, and property line setbacks from an existing pole barn that's on the property. And since there wasn't any building or development associated with this subdivision, the Lower Frederick PC voted unanimously to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant both preliminary and final approval of this subdivision and the waivers. The next thing on our agenda was the Zieglersville area pedestrian discussion. And this is an ongoing discussion of how we as a township can improve our pedestrian corridors and connections via sidewalks and trails between our commercial areas, our existing homes, proposed housing developments, schools, parks, and natural areas. This was especially timely now since we have no less than 3 proposed housing developments totaling approximately 117 homes within the same general area. All are in various stages of approval. The installation of trails and sidewalks are a requirement of our SALDO, so a coordinated effort is needed and really makes sense if we don't want to end up with trails to nowhere. My colleague Phil Smith put together an excellent presentation outlining 9 different areas of our township where pedestrian corridors would be beneficial in connecting these destinations. A productive discussion ensued, yet nothing was finalized. Again, this is an ongoing discussion, which will also dovetail with the Lower Frederick Open Space Plan and our proposed comprehensive plan exclusive to Lower Frederick. Just a reminder, Lower Frederick already has the benefit of a regional comprehensive plan in place through the Central Perkiomen Valley Regional Planning Commission, which was adopted in 2005 and updated in 2014. Hopefully, our proposed comprehensive plan should align with our existing plan's goals, since being part of a regional plan affords a municipality much more protection against claims of not offering fair share housing, and also to there's benefits in numbers. And again, this is an ongoing discussion, and it probably will be discussed here going forward. Lastly, we discussed future meetings. When could we start having them, perhaps again in person or a hybrid of online via Zoom and maybe some people in person? Many scenarios were discussed, but the general consensus was to continue meeting via Zoom, at least for the July PC meeting. Our next PC meeting is on July 16th at 7 p.m. via the Zoom platform. Although our agenda is not out yet, it appears the applicant, known as Genterra, will be presenting their third sketch plan concept for 225 Big Road. Also, you might know it as the Maisie Rose Track. The applicant is proposing 31 homes on 10,000 square foot lots to be built on Simmons Road, utilizing neighborhood lotting with public sewers. Even though this area of our township does not presently contain any public sewer facilities, with the closest connection miles away. This was also presented at our February 20th, 2020 meeting, and they are bringing the plan back in again. So I just wanted to throw that out there if anybody is concerned. And it may be a good planning commission meeting to attend via the Zoom platform. And that's all I have for my report tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Do we have any questions for our Planning Commission Vice Chair, Linda?
Yeah, this is Dan Orff. The only question I have for Linda is I do know there's some concerns related to the most recent sketch plan and whether or not it still aligns with the legal language that was placed in the original proposal. So we might need to reach out to our solicitor at some point soon to review that to make sure that they've revised the sketch plan so that it's considerably different than the one for which they had written up the legal languages associated with the sewering. So I think that's more of a legal question than the type of question that normally Carol Schuler, our engineer, would answer for us.
I would have to say I concur with Dan. I think it would be very beneficial to our planning commission if Mr. Brown would be kind enough to review. I believe the attorney's name is Julie Von Spreckelson from Eastburn and Gray, and she issued a legal interpretation memo when they submitted their first sketch plan. The date of that, if memory serves correct, is 11/15 of 2019. And it would be really helpful, I think, to the Planning Commission, I know it's short notice, if some type of a legal opinion or review of her legal interpretation could be provided by our solicitor. So, yes, Dan, thank you for bringing that up. And I do concur with you that at some point in this planning process, a legal review needs to be done on their stance and especially on the case law that she has referenced, because it doesn't really seem to apply to the Gentera situation. But I'm not an attorney, so I will defer to Eric Brown's expertise. Thank you again, Dan, for bringing that up.
Yeah, and I don't even play an attorney on TV, Eric.
I'll be happy to take a look at that. I'll work with Mark and Carol to get a review to the Planning Commission.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I had a question. I think it was the last meeting. It might have been two meetings ago where there was a review of the connections map. I just want to know, is that a project you're going to continue to work on? Because I think there are some updates. I mean, I was very happy to see you do that with all the new development coming in. Is that going to be an ongoing project?
Well, that's what I had referenced, Marla, with the Zieglersville area. I mean, I view it as an ongoing discussion, and it was held at our last meeting when Phil had presented a document and our present day map, and then also created something like the nine different areas of where some of it is within the new, the proposed new construction. There was also references to how do we tie our existing townhomes in Springmount to, our village commercial area in Zieglersville. And again, it's, we're just starting out with this, but it is hopefully definitely something that the Planning Commission would continue to work upon.
Yep, let me.
Thank you.
Can I back up to the discussion we had before the connections? Mark, didn't Andy review this legal position back in December or thereabouts?
To be perfectly honest with you, Chuck, I do not remember.
If I may interject, I do not believe he did, and if he did, his legal opinion was never shared with the Planning Commission.
So my question is this. Eric, don't take this the wrong way. But I think we were trying to avoid situations where we were having our professionals do things based on, just somebody bringing it up and say, yeah, go do it. And I mean, in my mind, does it make sense to first hear what the applicant has to say at you don't know what he's going to be telling you in the next week. And I'm just suggesting that maybe you want to hear what he has to say.
All due respect, the applicant submitted the plan at the February 2020 meeting. And the Planning Commission gave many recommendations to that plan that had been moved from its original location to Simmons Road. Then when we got our most recent plan, they have taken none of the Planning Commission's recommendations whatsoever from the February 20th meeting and based their revised third sketch plan solely on Carol Schuler's review letter of February 13th, 2020. And all they have basically done is move, you know, one of the comments was that our saldo does not allow groupings of homes utilizing neighborhood lotting of more than 25 homes. And they had all of their homes, all 31 homes, 30 homes, lined up like tin soldiers. What they have done is move them 100 feet apart. So there's basically been very little modification from the second to the third sketch plan, and even Mr. Dobson of Inland Design, the applicant's engineer, he even said the only recommendations he took were Ms. Schuler's from her review letter of February 13th, 2020.
All right, and all I'm recommending or asking the board, right? The board is the one who decides whether we give assignments to Eric or ask Mark to ask Eric to do things. Whether it makes sense to wait and hear what the applicant has to say at this next meeting and then decide where to go from there. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking my fellow board members at this
and
point.
Chuck, this is Dan. Under normal circumstances, I would concur with you, and that is typically the way we've done things. But given the track record so far, I don't think it's a good idea for us to for the Planning Commission to utilize our time when it's highly probable. It's not. It may be that the plans as outlined do not align up with our current, they're not based on a sound legal footing, and therefore we'd be wasting both the Planning Commission's time and the applicant's time. So we thought it seems to be prudent to get a readout as to whether or not this is something that they're just going to go there and we're going to say, well, we're just going to hold up our applicant because we're going to say we're going to need to get a legal opinion. Because right now we need a legal opinion to find out if what they've put before us in this current sketch plan, and I'm on the Planning Commission still, what they've put forward in the current sketch plan is something that is actually something they can do. There's considerable question in our mind as to whether or not this would pass muster as something that they're able to do given our current laws. So that's why we think we should find out first before they come in and we have a meeting. And the first thing we're going to say, and I can ask other members of the Planning Commission, is that we need to get an opinion as to whether or not this is a valid approach to this development project. So, I mean, that's where I'm coming from, and that's the message I heard from several of the PC members.
Well, we have a lawyer here. I mean, Eric, have you heard enough to have an opinion about which approach makes sense or not?
I would need to take a look at what this attorney's memo is. Compare it to your ordinances and provide you with an opinion on where things stand. So, I mean, again, I work for you, so it's up to you in terms of when you want me to do that and if you want me to do that. I'll tell you as a general practice, it is to the benefit of a township to provide that kind of direction to developers sooner rather than later to avoid a developer from incurring fees or relying upon your inaction going forward and submitting the land development plan based on what they view as acquiescence with their plan. You're not telling them no, so you must mean it's okay in the concept that they've proposed. So from a general standpoint, it's always better to give them that direction sooner in the process rather than later. And I don't know if you have the practice yet or not, but I would encourage that if you're going to be reviewing sketch plans, that you request the applicant provide you with an escrow and sign an agreement to reimburse you the professional consultant fees that may be incurred in reviewing the sketch plan.
So are you suggesting that your fees to review the legality of this, according to our ordinances, could be reimbursable from the developer?
If the developer agrees with that at the sketch plan level before they submit the actual land development plan, absolutely.
And generally,
in my experience, most developers are willing to do that because they want the honest feedback in a timely manner.
Generally, you have an engineering services agreement, and what you would need to do is have an engineering services agreement that covers the legal aspects as well. Mm-hmm. And I believe we've had that in the past. So I don't want to belabor this. I really don't. I just, if the board is okay with it, that's all I'm asking. This has been a problem that we've seen in previous boards, and we've all reacted to it, where one person says, go do this, and I just want to make sure this is something the board wants to do.
Well, I have a couple other questions for Eric. One of them is for Mark, is do we have anything in place, and will we have something like that in place soon to possibly reimburse these kinds of costs? And then for Eric, do you have just a ballpark estimate of what kind of time you're looking at to provide this review? Is it 1 hour, 10 hours, 100 hours?
Andy did write the PSA that we have with Gentera, so hopefully put you in it, Eric.
I didn't write it. Knowing him, if he wrote it, he probably requires reimbursement for legal fees.
Okay.
I don't know why he would not include that.
I don't have it in front of me, so.
Yeah.
But we definitely had it so that Carol could review the plans and write the letters that she has written to date.
Correct.
No, you didn't. I don't know if this is of any help, Eric, but the case that she cited in her legal appeal was Shantz versus New Britain Township. That is about that's a land use case. It has nothing to do with inconsistencies with a comprehensive plan. It's about they wanted to put a drug and alcohol clinic in a residential area that it was not zoned for. How that equates to putting sewers in an area of Lower Frederick that it's not zoned for, I don't know. And the actual quote that she cited is, yes, it was referenced, it was cited in that case, but it actually goes back to the FPA Corporation Appeal of 1976, which did deal with comp plans, but that was a case of they tried to tell an applicant, oh, you can't build all these townhouses because our comprehensive plan says you cannot do this. But the thing was, their comprehensive plan had only been just advertised. It had not been adopted. It had only been proposed, and their plan was in before their comprehensive plan in the FPA Corporation Appeal. So that really doesn't even apply either, because we have a comprehensive plan in place, and we also have it in our zoning, that our R1 zoning, that it, I believe it's 170-42 paragraph F, that it is the township's responsibility to implement the goals of our comprehensive plan. So she's trying to contend that it's a land use issue and our zoning ordinance takes precedent over it. Well, our zoning ordinance says that we are to implement the goals of the comprehensive plan. So there's where the gray area is, and that's why we would need your legal expertise to say, does her citing of these cases hold any water?
Yeah, I'm getting to Marla's question on an estimated cost. It's tough for me to give a firm estimate when I don't know how long the memo or how many cases this other attorney has cited. But
she only just cited Shantz versus New Britain, and it's a one-page memo.
I can't imagine it would take us very long then to address that issue.
Well, it just, I mean, I'm just speaking off the cuff here. It sounds to me like if we're going to need a legal opinion at some point, sooner is better than later. And if we have a PSA with them, and hopefully your colleague did it correctly and it covers legal things, then let's do it.
Mark, I see somebody's hand raised.
Yep. I'm just waiting until we have a pause. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it's Phil Smith, 205 Gerloff Road. I serve as the recording secretary of the Planning Commission. And I concur with both Dan and with Linda. I think it is timely. The second concept plan, which we reviewed at the beginning of the session in February, was predicated on the attorney of the applicant interpretation of our laws. The third concept plan, which we were just recently served, which will be discussed at the next meeting, is predicated on the second plan's organization and development. So to not have that legal opinion would be causing us to work at a deficit. And I agree with Dan that, you know, we really would be wasting our time if it was found to be, you know, not compliant to our current ordinances. Thank you.
I think we've heard enough. At least I think I have. If any other board members at this point feel like they need to talk about it more, I think let's just vote on it and move on with this.
Let's vote and move on.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll make a motion that we have Eric Brown review the legal memorandum drawn up by Genterra's lawyer.
I'll second that.
Chuck Yizer made the motion. Noel Halter seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And I hope you all, I hope, thank you. Any against? Good. I'm doing this only because this is a procedural thing that, you know, we have all commented on that we didn't want to do. All right. So now we are comprehensive plan or steering committee.
I think that'd be you, Chuck.
I guess that is me. So we did meet last month. We worked again. We went through all the survey questions with the group, tightened up some things. And at this point, I believe the survey is finalized. The plan at this point is to advertise the presence of the survey on our electronic outlets, social media, webpage, as well as piggybacking off of a sewer mailing to sewer customers. It's about 1,000 homes. And then we will also be sending a postcard using the mailing list that we have for our on-lot residents to capture the balance of the residents in the township. So those cards and letters will basically be announcing the presence of the survey. And I believe Mark has also indicated that they will have some printed copies of the survey available for people who absolutely, you know, who don't have an electronic means of filling them out, and they could pick those up at the township building, or I don't know what arrangements he was thinking about.
Yep, if someone needs a survey and doesn't have access to a computer, tablet, or smartphone, we'll have printed versions that we can mail to said resident, and then they can mail it back in, and then the data will be inputted by the county for us as part of the survey, you know, final numbers.
Okay. So we are having a comprehensive plan meeting this coming Thursday at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom. And we will be discussing where we are in the overall process and how we're going to move forward. That's where we are with that. I see a hand raised.
Go ahead, Philip.
Hello. Hi, Gail Goss.
Hey, Gail.
Perloff Road. Yeah, you're talking about ways to get the information out about the survey. Is it possible to put some kind of announcement on your board outside the township building, just saying that there are paper copies available on that? I don't know how you could do it in kind of shorthand on that with those removable letters or however you do it on the, you know, the sign outside, the roadside sign at the township building.
Yeah,
I can do something.
You know, look for the survey via internet or look for the survey via paper copies. I can mail them to you. I don't know, something like that. I'm stumbling around here, but.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gail. That's the end of the report that I had. If any questions, the next up is Park and Recreation.
Pam is here.
I'm here. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay. We had a long meeting last night, so I'll try to keep the summary short. As you all are aware, and we're painfully aware, we haven't been able to run our events this year as so far. But we're using the time for planning and bumping ideas around, so we've got a lot of things floating. The committee does remain optimistic and continues to hold the July 30th and also the August 13th rain dates open for potential concert in the park. We are now operating under the Montco Outdoor Events guidelines, which are in effect, and they limit the participation at such events to 50, but I'm told by the folks on the committee who are more experienced at this than I that that's not an issue. We generally do not have 50 people in attendance. The committee feels that social distancing at Coble and use of masks is going to be difficult because of the space and the parking situation. Donna Lynn is in contact with Upper Salford. They are starting their concert series. And she's approached them regarding the potential for using their venue for our sponsored concert event. And at this point, we're waiting for their board of supervisors to approve or accept that offer. So we're going to hold that open, and hopefully we can pull this off because we're really looking forward to providing something for the public. The committee also voted to move forward on the proposed QR code plant tag system. The initial application of this is proposed for the pollinator beds at Village Center Park. The total cost to do that is $985. That breakdown was provided in the meeting last night. That's for 30 tags, which is the plant list we used to plant those beds, and also, you know, all of the costs associated with that. That $985 also includes a one-time $500 charge to add the Lower Frederick seal to personalize them, when that obviously is an optional cost. And it also includes a $50 annual fee for the unlimited use, unlimited data use of the hosted database site we would be connecting to. So we're really looking for approval to spend that money, and we're making the decision of whether that money should come from the events budget or our donations that we've received from businesses out in the township. We reviewed additional information on the two proposed donation concepts that we initially discussed last meeting. Tree donations and also a brick donation.
Still there, Pam?
Do we lose her?
Program. The committee. Can everybody hear me?
No, you
dropped out, Pam.
Okay, at what point?
Oh, back up a couple minutes, maybe. Maybe a minute.
Did we get through the QR code plant tags?
Yes.
Okay. So we reviewed, or we're looking at two potential donation concepts, one using bricks and the other were being tree donations. We've developed a donation program perspective, and the committee voted to move ahead with the development of those programs for further discussion in the next meeting, next month. Competitive quotes were solicited for underground wiring at Village Center Park to eliminate the extension cords that are currently used to fire the lights that are on the fence. It's a programmable line fence. The primary objective would be to pull the wiring underground, and it also adds outlets along the fences, which we currently do not have any outside access outlets except at the current Christmas tree. But would add outlets along the fence and add flexibility and functionality for future use at that park. We're waiting for a third quote from Wallace, but we had two other quotes, the lowest being $1,900 from Blair Electric to do that job. Until we get the other quote, that's been tabled for discussion next meeting next month. I guess more significantly for us, we were awarded the 2020 MS4 grant from the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy for two rain gardens, one at Cuddy and one at Village Center Park. Unfortunately, it's unlikely we'll be able to do the Village Center Park because the dead ash trees are still standing, and that is the area where that rain garden would be going. So we're focusing on the Cuddy Rain Garden, which was already, somewhat built, needs to be renovated and redone. It's a great project there for that facility. Expect to do it in late fall. The grant is for $5,000 total, up to $5,000 total that they would provide. Perkiomen Watershed provides the materials and the guidance and oversight of the project. We provide the labor and the volunteer work and support. Our kickoff meeting with PWC is at Cuddy this Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Meeting with Jesse Kemper, who is the administrator of that program, Ryan Belts, who is the chairman of PWC, and they have a summer intern who's coming along to, learn how to do all of this. So that's the business we covered. I'd also like to do a special shout-out. We got a large donation of mulch, composted mulch, from Warren Jacobs this past month to allow us to mulch all of the beds in Village Center Park. That saved us a lot of money, and it was really wonderful composted mulch, and we thank him for that kind donation. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Do we have any questions for Pam?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I was at the meeting last night, and these guys are accomplishing a huge amount. So really kudos to everyone on the park board. They're working super hard on some great projects.
Thank you.
Yeah, I concur with what Marla said. Pam, I just have one quick question. Last night you mentioned something about having to come to the board for approval of spending some money. I think it was related to the tags. Is that
it
right?
Correct. That's probably the part that popped out. The total cost for the 30 tags for Village Center Park, which is where we're proposing doing this with the pollinator beds, is $985. And as I broke it, the breakdown of that is $500 of that is a one-time charge to put the Lower Frederick seal on it, which we feel might be important because we're going to use these same tags for the tree donation program, kind of personalizes it for the township, and we're going to be using it elsewhere throughout the other parks on tree tags, tree IDs, and we can use it for the donation programs throughout the parks and things. But we were looking for some direction perhaps from the board as to whether to pull that money from our budget, the park budget for events, or to pull it from our donation.
okay.
donations that we've gotten.
So you were, I thought what I heard last night is you're looking for us to give you direction at our next meeting?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Pam?
Maybe this is more a question for Mark, but I mean, is it really up to the park board how they want to spend their budget? Is it? Well, can they just make that decision where they want to take the money if there's money in the budget, or is this beyond the budget? I'm just not sure how we can help with that.
The theory was that they would just come to you and get permission to move forward with the project. Since it's the general fund budget, money comes out of the general fund unless they decide to go with donations money. So they would bring, and just to share the idea with everybody, so that everybody knows what Pam's talking about, the QR code, plant tags are at the park, and you could take your phone up to it and, you know, hit the QR code, and it tells you what the plan is, and there's all kinds of information. So they did a nice presentation last night to the park board, and we're going to bring that to the board at the workshop meeting. And then, but yes, we can, I mean, as we move forward with the new board, we can change the way things have been done.
I think I'm sorry, Chuck, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I think they were given direction by Mark last night to sort of follow the procedure we've been following, you know, in terms of discussing it at a workshop meeting, since it involves expenditures, and then approving it in a subsequent general meeting. That was my understanding of what the direction they were given last night.
Right, but my question really is, if they, I mean, I understand that, but if, I guess, well, we'll talk about it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Noelle, are you done?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Any other questions for Pam?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Pam. That right. brings us. Yeah,
see, I have the report from Ruth. I don't see Ruth on. I do see Warren, so I will unmute him, and I'll see if he wants me to read it. Or...
Okay, so this is our Environmental Advisory Council report.
Yeah. Warren, you're there. Do you want me to read the report, or do you have it?
I can read it. Okay. Ruth wrote this. I'm just going to read it. Can you hear me?
Yep.
The EAC met virtually via Zoom on Monday, June 22nd, 2020. Discussion resumed on two topics, sump pumps and tree protection. In response to a question from the public concerning the status of the invasive spotted lanternfly, the EAC referred to the Penn State Extension as a resource for more information, a link to which exists on the Lower Frederick website under the information tab. The EAC received the okay to proceed with a September 28th one-lot septic system presentation. A venue is yet to be determined. Joe Zlomek of the Schwenksville Post was present to offer his support for the distribution of non-editorial information that would educate the paper's readership about environmental topics. There remains one vacant seat on the council, and that's it.
Any questions for Warren?
Again, I don't have a question, but this is for all of our councils and committees. We're very blessed to have hardworking, dedicated volunteers doing everything from showing up at meetings to pulling weeds and really making this township a better place. And I just think we're so lucky to have everyone. So everyone who is volunteers in any capacity, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the donation of the mulch, Warren. Since we have you on the phone.
It's a waste product for me.
Yeah, I you didn't have to say that.
No big deal.
Okay.
Chuck, just let me go one second. It came in. Got a question from Amy Sachs for Pam, and I can try to help answer this. I do believe that there are apps for this type of identification of plants and trees. You could take a picture. Would this be redundant? It's not really redundant. It's actually a really cool thing that they have out there. If you go out to Village Center Park and you walk up towards the CVS sign, right along the walkway, you know, a little bit above the ground, it's a You can take a picture of it, and then it tells you all kinds of information about the flower and information about the park. Right now, it's just a test, like a beta test, so all the information isn't there, but we can load a lot of information in there also for it to tell people about things. So it is a little different. It is a neat idea. So hopefully that answers your question, Amy. And if you get a chance, let me see if I can find Pam. I think they're leaving those out there as Pam is that, they still
we are. We're going to leave the three demos out there. And yes, we can customize them. And we're also looking at using the same tags for like the tree donation program. We can put anything we want in the data field from the QR code. And that could be a memorial that someone wants to post or, you know, a message they want to put there with their memorial tree if they so desired. So it gives us a lot of flexibility, but we can customize it. And what we're doing is making sure that the information is accurate for our region of Pennsylvania and making sure that we have the background, good, strong background on the native species that we used in that park.
This is Dan. I just wanted to, Pam, I attended that meeting last night as well, and you guys are doing a bang-up job. But just one of the things that you stressed is the fact that the information is going to be based upon our region and our area. A lot of the apps that are out there are more, you did a better job of explaining it. They're more generic, or they come out of a different region, so they don't have our regional specific information that the QR code would provide. Did I get that right?
Well, that's correct. But I mean, we can put anything, you know, the value of it is we can really load it with a lot of information on the background, the uses. I'm putting in information like what species use the plant, use the flower, use it for food, eat the seeds. You know, some of them support certain birds, certain caterpillars, certain beetles, critical native bees that we've got. So we're adding all of that in there to try to make it a pretty complete thing. We're hoping it to be a great resource for like school kids, scout troops, anyone that wants to learn more about pollen. It's not just the flowers, but, you know, pollinator beds and why they're important and how it all fits together. So we're going to try to pull it all together and make a nice job of it.
Great. Can I just jump in and suggest, since we're going to talk about this at our workshop meeting, that maybe I think Greg had a nice presentation last night that actually had some pictures of the tags for people who don't get there. And also just to point out, too, that all this is great and fine, but these tags also serve a nice basic function in that those of us who may not have a smartphone on us know what we're looking at and educate ourselves. And I think that's a great thing. So that brings us to new business. Is there any new business? Hearing none, I will move on to public comment. Mark, you're the monitor.
Yep.
So while we're waiting, I'll just quickly mention to those people in attendance that we will be having a comprehensive plan meeting on July the 9th, a planning commission meeting on July the 16th, an environmental advisory board meeting on July 27th, and then our next workshop meeting is on July the 28th. All of these meetings for the month of July will be done using the Zoom format. In other words, it'll be online.
All right. Hello.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Good, Bob. So Bob Burns, Glenville Road.
Yes, it is. Bob Burns, Glenville Road. Had a couple of questions. First, wanted to thank the road crew for taking care of that entranceway on the road shoulder in front of the townhouses. I know a lot of you guys don't follow the Facebook page or aren't subscribed to that page. I believe there was about 6 or 8 residents that were very thankful that that got done and taken care of. I know I did send in to Mark that email list that you had requested last time, so I don't know what is left on that list to be done. But you guys were talking earlier about, you know, the Zieglerville Road and the pedestrian traffic. And I believe if Tommy's still there, he might be able to answer this question. In front of 24 and 26 Zieglerville going down the hill to the water company, we actually have a paved swale there. And it looks like when they were doing the other job, they might have had a little bit of fresh asphalt and threw it in one of the holes. But there's some serious holes in that swale area there. And with the amount of people that are walking from the Cedar Hill development going over to, you know, the town center and everything, they walk on both sides of the street, and they do it even in the evening, and there's no street lights over there. So I think it would be advantageous if, you know, the next time the road crew has some hot material, asphalt, that they can fill those holes in so that we don't have anybody pedestrian-wise getting hurt. And obviously the other thing is, you know, the edge of the white line there, and where these holes and whatnot are anywhere from 0 to 2 feet away from the white edge line. So it would also be a problem for vehicles if somebody, you know, left the edge of the white line. Yeah, the other thing that we had brought up several times over the last couple of years is the signs throughout the township that are blocked by foliage. It's the same ones we talk about all the time. Main Street, Zieglerville Road, Meng Road, Cemetery. You know, I haven't driven around too much looking for it, but on the roads that I'm on, I see it all the time. So it'd just be nice if we can get that foliage trimmed back away for the signs.
Yeah,
that's all I have.
Thank you, Bob, for coming back. And thank you for the note about the foliage. We'll take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Mark, is there any other public comment?
Nope, I think we are good.
Great. Can I get a motion for adjournment? I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
So Chuck Yizer made the motion to adjourn. Noel Halter seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Unanimous. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night,
everybody.
Thank you.